So, good evening, folks. If you're out there on the internet, this is an interview on Radio Edutalk. Radio Edutalk is a reasonably recent extension of edutalk.cc. Edutalk.cc is a website which captures audio from educators using mobile devices. It gives people easy entry to podcasting. You can just send us via email an MP3 about anything educational, or you can record an Audioboo or iPadio vlog and tag them Edutalk. What we're trying here is a live internet radio. Most of the week it is streaming our back catalogue of over 300 pieces of audio that we've collected over the last couple of years, and occasionally, probably most often on Wednesday nights about 8 o'clock, we'll do some live stuff. Had a wee try that last night for the first time, really. And tonight, we're going to talk to Ian Hallahan about TeachMeet. I'm presuming nearly everybody who is listening or will listen to the archive will know a wee bit about TeachMeet. And TeachMeet has been a sort of self-organised CPD effort by teachers.
I'm trying to sort the tech, I'm assuming.
I'm hearing Ian talking there, excuse me for a minute. Can you hear me, Ian? Can you hear me, Ian?
I can, yep.
Oh, good. I think I had my mic muted. Sorry, folks. That was a wee technical hitch. I've just introduced us, Ian, when you weren't listening, because I had my mic. We've been live for a couple of minutes. I'm just saying TeachMeet is a sort of loosely organised CPD, organised by teachers for teachers, that's begun to follow a format of 7-minute presentations. People volunteer to give these. You can come along and listen. You can come along and present. It's a fairly low entry barrier. You just need to turn up and be upright and warm and have something interesting to say. I've been to quite a lot of these over the years. And there's been a couple of really innovative ones recently, which Ian's been involved in. One of which I went to, which more of later. But the first one was TeachMeet Beyond. Ian, could you maybe tell us a wee bit about, first, how you came to TeachMeet, and then your involvement in TeachMeet Beyond?
Sure. The first TeachMeet I went to was the one that Ewan ran in the Science Centre. So what would that have been, 2006, 2007? And I had just seen it floating by in the internet somewhere, and that was before I was on Twitter, so it must have been something else. It must have been a blog or a mention somewhere, and I thought, oh, that sounds quite interesting, let's have a look at that. And I looked into it and I thought, yeah, that sounds like a lot, and I decided to go along. I had to go on my own because it was in the evening and not many people in the school I was in would have been terribly keen on going along to do CPD in their own time in the evening, but I liked the sound of it. So I thought, well, I'll go along, and if it's no good, I can always just run away. But I went, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I was sitting there, and everyone was on their laptops and with their big cameras and taking photos all over the place, and I was sitting there with a pad, scribbling away frantically on it, and I filled page after, I actually found it the other week, and I filled page after page after page after page with just notes of things that I was to check out later on, and I got quite a lot out of it. There was a good few things that I saw on that night that I tried out in the class, which is, it's rarer than you might think when you're talking about CPD, certainly the kind of stuff that you have to attend. One of the things that I did try out was David Noble was talking about something called the Access Network, which was kind of joining together educators from around Scotland who were delivering Access 1 or Access 2 qualifications. Now, I had just started in a school doing just that, and given that I was a primary teacher, I really was flying solo and fairly blind. So I found it invaluable just having people who had either delivered them before or were delivering them at the same time and just bouncing ideas off each other. I found it really useful. It was one of the biggest helps of getting me through that first year of Access 1 and Access 2. So after that, I think it was a year until the next teach meet I went to, which would have been the Learning Festival again. And this time I was a wee bit braver and I was talking to people. I bumped into Margaret Vass outside before we even went in. We'd never met each other, but we knew each other by name at that point, I think. She'd seen my name floating by and I'd seen her name floating by. So I get talking to more people that time round, and I went to the teach meet as well. After that, teach meets started to come a bit more frequently and I was going along a bit more frequently as well, so down in the Borders next, and then I think probably the student one with David Muir after that, the first student one. I even presented at that one, which was my first time presenting. And it kind of went on after that. The next thing, if we're heading towards Teach Me Beyond, the next thing that happened was There was conversations going on around the teach meets, and it was, you know, are we preaching the same kind of things that we're still getting today, actually? Are we preaching to the choir? Is it an echo chamber? Do you not think this is a bit tech-focused? And I agreed with it to a certain extent. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that it's tech-focused, but I think it could widen itself out and do good in more areas. So I've been kind of thinking that, but at the same time, you know, you're not wanting to mess with a format that someone's come up with, something, a concept that people have built from the ground and turned it into something really pretty amazingly successful. So there was a bit of talk about that, and then it went quiet for a wee while, and I got asked to write an article on Teach Meets for the School Leaders Scotland magazine, and as part of it I was feeling a bit gallus on Twitter one day, and I asked Ewan if he fancied having a wee chat about Teach Me and the origins of it, and he said yeah, and thanks to David Noble again, who managed to do some amazing technical wizardry with Ewan on a train somewhere in London and David in Dunfermline, I think he was. And I was at home, and he still managed to put it all together and even managed to make it able to for people to hear. And so we did about an interview, and Ewan came across very positively for people to tinker with the format. And then when I'm speaking to David as well, he felt the same, and yourself, John, too. In fact, I think you said that you felt that the evolutions were vital if it was going to survive. So that gave me a bit more confidence to mess about with it, I suppose, really. And then when the Teach Meet 5 thing came along to kind of celebrate the 5th birthday, I thought, well, this is as good a chance as any. By then I'd already been branded a rebel by David Muir at the second Teach Meet student in Strathclyde, because I'd done a talk on the John Muir Award, and he said, it's not techie, that's a bit rebellious. So I'd already started looking down that road, and I just kind of joined the two together, you know. So it was outdoor learning, make Teach Me a wee bit different, and just kind of mixed it together. I'm still quite amazed that we managed to pull Teach Me Beyond off quite as well as we did. It started off, I was thinking if we get 8 or maybe 10 people for half an hour or 45 minutes or even an hour and a half at the outside, one evening after school, I thought that would be a really good job and well done. But when we put the feelers out, the response was just so overwhelming, and people just kind of took it in its own direction. So what had been thought of as a kind of a Twilight thing to do a kind of a traditional show and tell type teach me, turned into basically an overnighter in Turficken of all places, where we had a campfire and people stayed overnight, and then the next day we had workshops. Now I was a bit worried about that myself. I thought, is this getting a bit too CPD like? But I suppose if you're outside in the middle of a field or tramping through woods, the answer to that is not really. So we had two sessions in the morning and two sessions in the afternoon, and people could pick what they wanted to go to, and each thing that was on in the morning ran twice, so you could go to two of the morning things one after the other, and then each of the things that were on the afternoon ran twice, and you could go to two of them one after the other as well. So if you weren't presenting, you could go to four things. If you were presenting, you could go to two. And it went really well. I mean, so far beyond what I could ever have hoped for. I mean, there was loads of people who worked really hard. Cassie worked really hard. Juliet Robertson, creative star. David Noble bailed us out with some money, as did Juliet. It was a real team effort. People just appeared from nowhere to offer help. And once we were actually on site, I mean, it was just a big muck-in kind of effort. And it was really good. I think the thing about it was, sometimes when you go to a teach meet, you're just getting to quite a good, nice place, and then it's time for everyone to go home. Whereas with this, it didn't have that kind of time pressure on it, because you were there Friday night, overnight into Saturday, and we were like right through to Saturday afternoon, so there was no time pressure on us at all. We actually ended up starting our talks when we'd intended to finish them, because everyone was just in a blether before that. So it all worked quite well.
I mean, it's one I really am disappointed I didn't get off my bottom and go to, Ian, because it just, everything that came out of it just sounded brilliant. There's a couple of things I really thought interesting you were saying. The first was messing about, that you were messing about with the format, and I kind of really like that. I mean, the whole thing seemed incredibly playful. You were being playful with the format, the Teach Meet format, but also the tasks you had people do in the workshops and things like that were all very playful. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest factor in whether Teach Meet Beyond was going to be a success or not was in what the presenters were presenting on the day. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, I didn't present. I turned out just as well, because I mean, I was so busy doing everything else. I was lucky to get along to presentations. But the folk who presented were just phenomenal. We had Cassie Law doing some everyday outdoor activities, trying to get across to people that it didn't need to be a big all singing, all dancing lesson to take it outside. Jen Dienberg.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd pronounce that.
Jen.
Yep.
Doing her geocaching, getting folk to make geocaches, out wandering about. The Mission Explore lads, Geoblogs was up doing Mission Explore, and I think that made a real big impression on everyone. Juliet Robertson, like I mentioned before, her stuff was fantastic. I just thought it was brilliant. And we also had Kim McIntosh from the Join Mural Board, which, I mean, it just all gelled together so well. I didn't hear anyone with a kind of a bum note to say about any of the presentations. In fact, some people were saying, oh, I wish I'd get along to that one, because obviously you couldn't go to everything. But everyone just seemed right up for it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so the presenters were delivering stuff that people wanted to hear about, wanted to see. I think because of the situation it was in, you'd almost run yourself through a pre-selection process before you went, I suppose. You know, you weren't going to get people whom were maybe thinking about it, coming along to either stay outside in a tent or to bunk it up in a dormitory, slumming it a bit. So I suppose there'd been kind of a filtering process just in its own. But I remember sitting outside when the campfire was going on, and this was on the Friday night. This was like kind of the bit that was sort of a traditional teach meet where folk were just giving a wee talk about something or just having a chat. And I was just looking around at all these people around this campfire, and there was bats swooping in over our heads and everything. And I was just thinking, do you know, it doesn't get any better than this. And it was great fun, and I think everyone had an absolute blast. I mean, David even drove down or got himself the train down from Dunfermline just for the evening, and then headed off again in the morning. I mean, it was the enthusiasm and the goodwill from everyone. I mean, it was something really special.
Yeah, you're not making me feel much better about missing this.
John, it was rotten, honestly. We're all just making it up.
Yep.
It rained the whole time.
The other thing you said there was you were a bit worried about making it too CPD-like. Now, this is kind of interesting to me because getting back to the messing about thing, I've always been interested in continuous amateur development, if you know what I mean. You know,
I like that.
Just
continuous amateur.
You know, this idea of playing with stuff and following what you like, and just getting an idea. And you know, you were saying you first teach me, you went along, you picked up an idea, you took it back to the class. It probably wasn't in your forward plans for that year. You know, it probably wasn't on the school development plan. It was just something you wanted to play with. And I just kind of wondered about your thoughts about, you know, teach me versus ordinary CPD.
You don't want to be drawn into an ideological war. Because there's got to be a space for both of them. I mean, you know, you've got things like, if you look at child protection training or something like that, you know, I would very much be against let's just mess about with child development, child protection training, kind of CPD, and see what happens. Because, you know, you've got that many people, you have to get through it, you have to make sure you're getting a consistent message across to as many people as you can. So that's obviously, you know, there is a place for that. But if you're going to be asking people to come along in their own time, at their own expense, on their own time, you know, I mean, this is time out of their family lives or out of their leisure time, then you have to make it something that they're going to want to be going along with it. I remember we were trying to do something, I think it was for the Scottish Learning Festival Teach Meet that was at the BBC, and we were trying to get the message out to probationers, and we'd got in touch with a load of the authority people who are in charge of working with the probationers. And we got a wee bit of a negative kind of a barb back off one of them, who was saying, you know, you're slating what we're doing. You're saying that it's all worthless and that what you're doing is great, which wasn't the message you were trying to send at all. I mean, you kind of, like I say, if you're bringing people along in their spare time, in their own time, you have to be trying to be a bit irreverent. You have to be trying to be a bit more lighthearted. You know, if you can come along and have a beer while you're doing the CPD, if you can come along and chat to your pals while you're doing the CPD, you know, if no one's going to give you into trouble for being on your laptop on Twitter while you're doing the CPD, if you're going to go out for dinner after the CPD, after something, then obviously these are things that are going to make it more attractive to you to come along to than, come along and be here then and
Yeah. I mean, I'm not criticising ordinary CPD because now that's my job. I'm delivering CPD nearly every day. But I'm very interested in the boundaries and the edges.
Well, I mean, it's it's like teaching in general, you know. If you were going into your class and teaching everything in exactly the same way every time you did it, you'd soon be getting shouted at and told you need to mix it up a bit. And yet sometimes, if you're going along to a CPD course, that's exactly what's happening. It's the same thing, the same format every day. And you know, that's not going to engage everyone any more than anything else is going to engage everyone.
Yep.
So you know, you need to mix it up a bit.
Just, I mean, I could think you could probably go on about Teach Me Beyond for quite a while, Ian. And I'm certainly enjoying watching Ian in Skype here, because he's a lively presenter. The hands are going. But the other thing I wanted to catch you about is, and I'm kind of conscious of your time as well as anything else, is the Teach Me 365. And again, that's going off what is becoming the standard Teach Me nowadays. And where did that one come from?
Do you know, someone had mentioned something about it, and I was trying to remember where I started feeling that way. And I really can't remember. It's clear that Teach Me is a huge success. But there's problems with it being a huge success. And one of the problems is, if you're going to go along to a Teach Me at the Scottish Learning Festival or at BET, I mean, they're huge, massive affairs now, you know. You're talking about, at Scottish Learning Festival, you're talking about over 100 people in a room. And it could be quite a big room. If you're at BET, I mean, I don't know what they cap the numbers at. I've seen the photos of BET, and I mean, it just looks huge. And it's going to take a very special type of person to feel comfortable about getting up in front of that amount of people. Now, don't get me wrong, not everyone who gets up is going to feel comfortable about it. But it's going to take a special kind of person even to put themselves forward to go up if they're not feeling comfortable about it. So it's almost like the Teach Me Beyond thing again. There's a filtering process there that's happening, not necessarily with everyone who's going, because you've got the security blanket of going along as a lurker, you know, and just kind of observing rather than participating almost.
Yep.
And I can understand where people are coming from. I remember putting my name down to speak at the one at the BBC, and I mean, I was absolutely terrified that my name was going to come out the hat. Yeah. Absolutely terrified. And at the same time, when my name didn't come out the hat, I was gutted.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so gutted. But I mean, I can see why it would put people off doing it. And obviously, I'd been looking back at where Teach Me had come from, and you know, a room in a pub, and then we'd had the beer meet as well. Kicked off a beer meet, and I mean, it was just a brilliant day as well. And there wasn't any presentation agenda there. It was just come along, we'll have a few beers, we'll have a chat, we'll do whatever. I think you were at that as well. And it was kind of trying to catch that vibe, I suppose, really. You know, I wouldn't say that's what Teach Me should be, and it shouldn't be the kind of BET or Scottish Learning Festival thing any more than I would say Teach Me should be the Scottish Learning Festival and not your beer meet kind of thing. I think there's room for it all. And I certainly think that if you're going to look to actually contribute something smaller and more intimate, is an easier place for you to do that than standing up in front of 120, 130, 140 people and then saying it. Because something I've noticed about teachers is no one ever thinks they're doing anything that special.
Yeah.
They all think that that's just that's just ordinary, and that all these other people are doing the fantastic stuff. And I mean, that's not the case. I've said it to so many people. Everyone is doing something worth talking about in their classroom. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in a classroom. You know, you'd be somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's getting that kind of sharing going on. And I mean, I was quite specific in the 365 wiki I set up as not laying down a huge amount of guidelines and not making it you have to do this and this and this. You know, I just said, here's an idea, let's just see what it takes us. And you know, if there's one in East Lothian that runs in one model, and there's another in Kilmarnock that runs in a different model, and there's one in Stirling that runs in a different model altogether, that really doesn't matter when it comes down to it. The good thing that's happening there is that there are people getting together. They're getting something out of it. They're getting a bit of a buzz. They're getting a wee bit of a pick-up, especially at the moment when it's sometimes not very nice to be a teacher as you're sitting listening to I was taking a bit of a battering, really. So it is. I think it's quite good to get that positive energy, and give people a chance to contribute and to start to feel more comfortable. And hopefully, that won't be the end of it. You know, hopefully, if you're comfortable doing it there, and you see that people are valuing what you've got to say, then maybe you might feel better about standing up in front of a room of 150 people and telling them what you did. I mean, I've certainly seen people blossom after being practically dragged up to speak. Yep. I teach me. I mean, I'm thinking of Lisible. And I was talking to her one time. It was David's online teach me. And my mouth was so dry when I was presenting that, and I was so nervous. And then we sat having a chat afterwards, and she said, oh, I was the same. And then, you know, you see her, the next time you see her, she's up in front of how many hundred people would be dancing about. And, you know, I think she's set up her own company and doing all sorts of stuff. So, you know,
yep.
Once you get that kind of a positive experience,
yeah,
I think it empowers you quite a bit. And you know, the more people and the more different approaches we can take to harness that, I think the better.
Yeah, so TeachMeet 365 is really about sort of wee TeachMeets, isn't it? Just taking a wee space, a pub or a cafe, and having a chat. Not so much with the PowerPoint or the presentation or anything like that.
I mean, it's very light on rules. Yeah. I mean, that was another thing. Having been through the sponsorship mill, or, you know, I kind of been in the periphery of some of the sponsorship stuff for a couple of the teach meets. But when I went through the sponsorship mill for Teach Meet Beyond, I mean, it's not pleasant. I mean, it's not pleasant. Yeah. And then I was watching someone scaremongering about, you know, what if the VAT man comes looking for you, and mm-hmm. what if that happens, and I just thought, you know, you don't need this. And Teach Me Beyond wouldn't have happened without sponsorship, because I mean, there's no way I could have funded it out of my pocket, and I don't think there's any way anyone could have funded it out of their own pocket, really. So it was only through the generous sponsors that we could have managed it. And there's always going to be Teach Meets that are like that and need to have a sponsorship to make them happen. But I think we need to remind people that that's not what a Teach Meet has to look like. You don't have to have a sponsor. You don't have to have goodie bags. You don't have to have anything like that.
Okay.
I actually had a wee idea last night. I was thinking that maybe it'd be quite nice and sort of a full circle type thing. Kind of at the end of Teach Meet 365's 12 months, heading towards the end of it, if we maybe managed to find ourselves back at the Jolly Judge, is that what it was called?
That's where we started, yeah. That would be really good, yeah, because that was, yeah, not, I mean, that wasn't called Teach Meet. I think that was called the Scott Edgy Blogs Meetup or something like that, but that's what it sparked. But it was very relaxed, very casual, There was a couple of pints of Guinness involved, and lots of laptops, a bit of chat, and I think it'd be nice, yeah, to take over that a wee bit again. And we didn't. There was no booking involved. We just all got on the bus, got off the bus, went to the pub together, and it worked very well.
I'm quite amused they had free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that was back. That was I think that was probably the only pub in Edinburgh, and that's why it was chosen. It had it had free Wi-Fi, but it turned out to be, I think, a good choice because it was a nice pub, and it was at the time we went, it was reasonably quiet. I don't think we hacked off the regulars too much, you know. But yeah, I'm just dead impressed about the way you've organised this. The one thing I went to the, I think it was probably the first one, the one in Stirling. After the Edgecott ICT, and I was sitting there at the start, and I was thinking, this is just going to sort of turn into a chat to who you're sitting next to. And you stood up, and I can't remember exactly what you said, but you got it kicked off, and it then that kind of centred the conversation, which I think makes it a teach meet as opposed to just a social night out for teachers, because a social night out for teachers are all talk about teaching half the time, but a teach meet slightly different, and it was that sort of thing I think really got it going. I know David Noble's talking about organising some small events, but he's talking about having, I think, the people who are not in charge but kicking it off, having a wee bit of training in you know, organising people and things like that. And it is, I think, a difficult thing to do. And I just thought that was really nice, the way you started that one off. And it got people, say, centred, paying attention. And I don't think there was too much of people grabbing the headlines or anything like that. And it just went round and everybody had their say, but everybody was in the one big conversation, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy thing, you know. There was a chat at the beginning, and I thought, right, we need to try and get everyone involved here, because you could see there was folks in, and I was down at the 365 in Killy the other week, and it was the same, and Teach Meet Beyond was the same. We went down to the campfire, and when we went to start the campfire, folk were just having a wee blend, and I think it's important to let people have that, definitely. But when you're going to turn it into the event, then you need to make sure that they know, right, this is the event now. And obviously Teach Meet Beyond was a bit easier because the guy from Dark Sky Scotland showed up, and obviously we had to get him out of the way, so that was a good thing. The one in Stirling, I mean, it didn't pan out at all in any way the way that I'd thought it might, but it was really good. I mean, once everyone, for about the first couple of minutes, you thought, oh, this isn't going to go anywhere, but like everything, once folk get talking, that's when the opinions start to come out, and that's when everyone wants to talk. And once it was going, once it was in flow, I mean, I didn't want to be the person to step in front of it and say, right, we have to stop here. Eventually I had to be, because otherwise we would get kicked out. But it was actually, when we were down in Killy the other night, same thing. There was the bit at the start where everyone was having a bit of a blether, and, you know, you're trying to get to know the people about you, people that you've maybe not met before. But then between Drew and I think it was literacy advisor as well, I think, between the two of them, they just said, right, we've still got this to get through. So then...
Yep.
They kind of, that gave it just that focus. It was good. And like I say, I mean, it doesn't have to be run A, B, C, D, E.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But as long as you know what you're looking, where you're looking to go with it, I think you'll be all right. If you go and you don't know where you're looking to go with it, that's maybe when you may have a bit of bother.
Yeah. I'm getting a wee bit conscious of time. I just want to drop one word. And I kind of felt from the start when I went along to the first few teach meets, you know, you're talking about the buzz and the excitement, and I hadn't had that from CPD before, and I felt there was a slight edge of subversion to teach meets, and I don't mean that in a bad way, I just mean subverting all sorts of different things, subverting what a meeting should be, subverting classroom practice, subverting this, that, and the next thing, expectations. Would you give me an agreement on that, do you think?
I would. The first one I went to, I remember coming out of it and just thinking, I mean, I was amazed. I was like, wow. I was actually quite scunnered. Then I'd arranged something else for right after, in case it was pure rubbish and it did run away. I wasn't going to be kicking about for too long, so I'd arranged something else right afterwards. And I ended up being really, really gutted that I had and that I couldn't go along for the teaching. I really enjoyed what I was doing. And I did feel it was kind of edgy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... I don't know how to put this. I'm trying to think. It's almost like... It's a wee bit secret, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going along and everyone... It's not right. It's not something that's been done to you for a start. You know, yeah. You're choosing to go along. And then when you're there and you're seeing what everyone's doing, I mean, it gave me a fantastic buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. And it was, you know, you can talk you don't need to listen to presenter. You know, the presenter's up there presenting. If you're interested in what they've got to say, that's fine. If you're not interested in what they've got to say, chat amongst yourselves, you know, go and grab a drink, go and do this. It kind of takes away all the preconceptions of what it's meant to be like. That's why, I mean, I like, even if you're at a bigger teach meet, and I know sometimes you have to go with what you've got, and you maybe end up sitting in a lecture hall and it's row and row of chairs. And, you know, I can appreciate that you have to make what you can out of what you've got. But I prefer the ones where you're sitting at a round table or kind of a cabaret style.
Sure, yeah.
So that you can have something good on at your table while the presenter's going on. And I mean, don't get me wrong, you're not wanting to do what I've seen done plenty of time to presenters at more traditional CPD events or at lectures where folk are just totally ignoring what's going on. And to the point of rudeness, you know, they're talking away amongst themselves so that other people can't hear the lecture and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Just being able to opt out and opt in when you feels good for you. I mean, I just thought that was terribly grown up.
Yeah.
And very different. Yeah. And like you say, edgy, subversive.
Yeah. Well,
that was quite nice about it, I thought.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting about what you're doing is you're actually now subverting the subversion. And we're getting into a wee nice piece of recursion there, which I always like, is you're just taking it and doing to teach me what teach me does best, is change things and chop it up. So great stuff, and I'm quite interested to see what you'll be doing next. I think probably going to wrap it up about there, Ian. Is there anything else you want to put in there?
Well, I want to say this, I'm loving this Radio Edu Talk idea. I remember seeing you and David deep in plotting conversation, and I was like, I wonder what they're up to now. And I think this is a fantastic idea.
Yep.
Really interested to see where you take that.
Well, just hopeful that we can play with it. I mean, as I say, I like this idea of playing, and half of this is attracting me because it's a new bit of software and toys to play with. It's a new format. It also, I mean, I've done a bit of podcasting where you're just talking and you figure out what you're going to say first and all the rest of it. But I'm quite interested in this live business. I mean, I don't expect there's a huge number of people listening to this live at the moment. Hopefully more will download the podcast when it's up on EduTalk, because I have remembered to start archiving at this time, which I failed to do last night.
Once they've sanitised it a bit, cleaned it up, taken it along to a couple of different presenters and called it something different.
But I've kind of just, the idea of talking live is quite different than the idea of doing something that you can edit. You know what I mean? You can't edit this.
you were saying you were interested in what I would come up with next.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking it would be interesting to see how if you could kind of crash the two together, like Teach Me 365 and Radio EduTalk.
Yeah.
So you were kind of going live from an event.
Yeah.
I thought that might be quite interesting to see if we could make that live.
It would be. I mean, I think I've got to. I mean, I'm using a 12 quid mic here, and one of the things I'm going to try and do is investigate some slightly better equipment and get this working, because I think once you go into a room with a lot of people, then you've got to be thinking about the direction of the sound. This is something that I know nothing about, but I think that would be a really nice thing to do. Partly like, I mean, the flash meetings work quite well sometimes, but maybe we could do it that becomes the sort of... at distance audience becomes more part of it than sometimes does in flash meeting, and we can bring more people in. I'm not sure how many people you can have in as individual in a Skype call without the quality going to blazes, but I'm sure there's something we can do there. Maybe having people stepping in and out a room, you know, so you can be listening sometime, you can step into a room and put your Thomas Worth in. It's like going up and presenting and then coming out again. I would like to see that. Can I just say, I just thank you very much for this, Ian, because it's been great. I know I've said to you the last three times I've seen you, you're going to blog about that Teach Me Beyond, because I want to know more about it. You go, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I think we kind of nailed quite a lot of good stuff here. Great information. I'm just delighted with this. And I guess I'm going to have to stop and hang up quite soon, probably to the audience and to the people who listen to the podcast. I just say you've
had break it up into chunks.
Yeah, no, this is you can't break this up. This has been the first interview on Radio EduTalk. I've been talking to Ian Hallahan, Dawn_Ian, and it's IAIN on Twitter, about his adventures in Teach Meet. He's, as I said, gone Teach Meet Beyond and now Teach Meet 365. You can see that stuff on the Teach Meet wiki, which is teachmeet.pbwiki.com, I think, but if you just Google Teach Meet, this will be pushed out to EduTalk as a podcast, and we'll hopefully be doing some more of this sometime soon. If you're interested in contributing either to EduTalk by sending us some audio, or if you want to get involved in some live stuff, just get in touch via Twitter. You can tweet David Noble, Parge Lad, or myself, John Johnson, on Twitter, or drop us a mail or contact us through the interwebs. Okay, thanks very much for listening. I'm going to stop this broadcast, which will return EduTalk to its random archive selection, and then I'll have a quick word with Ian before he disappears. Thanks for listening. Cheers, folks.